Welcome to the first Mindfulness and Somatic Trauma Reprocessing podcast. I'm Marty Ewer and I'm a psychiatrist in Australia, and for decades I've had the honour of working with people affected by trauma, and many of those people have served in the Australian Defence Force. It is my intention to produce a podcast approximately once a month, focusing upon acquiring a deep understanding of how trauma affects people, and also an understanding of how to recover from the effects of trauma. I will bring to you the most up-to-date trauma research from around the world. I will also bring to you how people who have dedicated their lives to understanding trauma are thinking about trauma and how to recover from it. In the first podcast, I will mainly talk about the effects of trauma and how people can respond to them. And in particular, I will talk a little bit about how I work with people affected by trauma. I hope that a range of people will find this podcast useful, including practitioners and people who have experienced trauma. For some years, I've been concerned that people exposed to complex trauma were not responding to treatment as hoped. I thought there must be a better way of helping people. I approached this problem by first understanding the neuroscience of trauma and then by looking at the best research from around the world on trauma. And I also considered ancient practices thought to be helpful to overcome the effects of trauma. For quite some time, it has been recognized that trauma affects the body and the nervous system. This is probably best highlighted in Bessel van der Kolk's book, The Body Keeps the Score. I've noticed that people have not responded that well to traditional talk therapy that mainly focuses on thoughts and intellect. For some time, I have thought that treating trauma-related symptoms needs to draw from an understanding of the neurobiology of trauma. That is, to base treatment interventions on how trauma affects the nervous system and the body. I have been trained in trauma-sensitive mindfulness, mindful self-compassion, trauma-sensitive yoga, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, or EMDR, and somatic experiencing. And I bring these trainings to the people that I work with who have been affected by trauma. Let me explore the problem in a little bit more detail. Trauma is generally considered to be an event that a person finds overwhelming and that they have difficulty integrating the experience. Most of the people that I've worked with over the years have experienced complex trauma, meaning that they have been exposed to traumatic events that are interpersonal, long-term, repeated, and severe. Many of them suffer from complex post-traumatic stress disorder. I will initially briefly describe PTSD, and then I will turn to complex PTSD. PTSD has a number of core symptoms, including re-experiencing, avoidance and numbing, hyperarousal, and negative alterations in thoughts and mood. Complex PTSD has these core symptoms and three additional symptom complexes, which are emotional regulation difficulties, disturbances in relational capacities, and negative belief systems. We know that complex trauma affects the mind, the nervous system, and the body. Neuroimaging shows that the brain's left hemisphere activity is reduced in people with PTSD, and this interferes with their ability to put their experiences into words. On the other hand, when a person is reminded of the traumatic memory, the right side of the brain reacts as if the traumatic event was happening again in the present moment. Furthermore, normal memories are kept in the hippocampus, and this includes the who, what, when, and where associated with the memory. In contrast, trauma memories are stored in the amygdala, and they consist of vivid details and strong emotions and often negative beliefs, but not the detail of when the event occurred. When a person has a trauma-related memory, they often cannot identify that they are re-experiencing something from the past. Instead, they are intensely aware of strong feelings, possibly of terror, anger, shame, or guilt. And to them, it seems as though the event is happening in the present moment. After trauma, people respond disproportionately to stress and they react on autopilot with a fight, flight, or freeze reaction. Stress hormones, including adrenaline, quickly spike even in response to much lesser stressful events, and these hormones then take much longer to return to normal after the stressful experience. Persistently elevated stress hormones interfere with memory and attention and lead to other problems, including irritability and difficulty sleeping. Trauma profoundly changes a person's nervous system. There are three main brain networks that are primarily affected by trauma, and they are the default mode network, the salience network, and the central executive network. There is reduced default mode network functional activity, which is thought to underlie impairments in autobiographical memory and leads to an altered sense of self. There is increased resting state functional connectivity among salience network nodes, which are thought to give rise to hyperarousal symptoms with an overall dominance of the threat sensitivity circuit. There is increased connectivity between the salience network and default mode network, reflecting increased threat processing and hypervigilance at the expense of appropriate self-referential processing. There is impaired switching between the default mode network and the central executive network, and therefore people with PTSD show an impaired ability to appropriately recruit relevant networks. Problems with the central executive network contribute to problems with poor cognitive functioning across multiple domains, including autobiographical memory, short-term memory, attention, and executive functioning. People who have experienced trauma also notice a range of physical problems, including pain, and they often feel disconnected from their body. They have difficulty sensing what is physically happening in their body, and this is called a lack of interoception. changes to the mind, body, and nervous system after trauma frequently result in a condition called post-traumatic stress disorder. This condition is defined in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Psychiatric Disorders, known as the DSM-5. PTSD involves exposure to actual or threatened death or serious injury or sexual violence. It involves a number of intrusion symptoms, including intrusive memories, recurrent distressing dreams or nightmares, and flashbacks. There is also persistent avoidance of reminders of the traumatic event or events. There are negative alterations in thoughts and mood associated with the traumatic events, including exaggerated negative beliefs or expectations about oneself, persistent distorted thoughts about the cause or consequences of the traumatic events, persistent negative emotions, feeling detached from others, and an inability to experience positive emotions. There is also irritability, hypervigilance, poor concentration, difficulty sleeping, and an exaggerated startle response. Sometimes people take unacceptable risks after trauma because this is the only time they feel truly alive. Many people struggle to function after trauma, and this includes difficulties functioning at work. Other people try and distract themselves from their distress by throwing themselves into activity, and this includes overworking. This may give the impression of a person being okay because externally they appear to be functioning, yet psychologically they are deeply distressed and disconnected. After trauma, people often feel disconnected from themselves and from those around them. Sometimes people try and cope with their trauma-related symptoms by using substances or maybe abusing food, that is, eating too much or too little food. Let me now turn to mindfulness and a number of mindfulness-based solutions for trauma-related symptoms. And these solutions are all backed by science. Mindfulness is central to many of the modalities favored by people who have dedicated their lives to understanding trauma when they think about what they want to treat trauma-related symptoms with. This is probably because there is considerable overlap between the neurobiological models of PTSD and the neurobiological findings associated with mindfulness. Furthermore, mindfulness is central to a number of modalities thought to help PTSD, including mindful self-compassion, trauma-sensitive yoga, EMDR, and somatic experiencing. Mindfulness-based interventions are thought to target several core features of PTSD, including avoidance, hyperarousal, emotional numbing, negative emotions such as shame and guilt, and the symptom of dissociation. Three components of mindfulness seem to promote recovery from PTSD, and they are attention, a mindful style of thinking, and non-judgment. Mindfulness reduces attentional bias to trauma-related stimuli, It also reduces negative thoughts and it promotes a willingness to approach fear-provoking stimuli, which in turn leads to reduced avoidance. Mindful self-compassion promotes compassion towards the person practicing mindfulness and also towards others, as well as promoting emotional flexibility, including the ability to shift from negative to positive emotional states, and it promotes psychological flexibility, including the ability to distance oneself from one's current mindset, including emotion, actions, and attentional bias. These mindfulness skills may be crucial to recovering from trauma-related disorders. Importantly, studies have shown that mindfulness-based interventions restore the integrity of the key brain networks adversely affected by trauma. I will now talk a little bit about mindfulness-based interventions that are helpful for trauma, and I will briefly give a bit of background to mindfulness in recent times. In 1979, Jon Kabat-Zinn developed a course to help patients suffering from a range of conditions, and he called it Mindfulness-Based Stress Reduction, or MBSR. Jon Kabat-Zinn described mindfulness as paying attention on purpose to the present moment in a non-judgmental way. Others have added to this definition, and they have said that it involves paying attention with curiosity and with an open heart. They have highlighted that awareness and acceptance are important elements of mindfulness. Mindfulness is awareness without reactivity, and it often leads to clarity, wisdom, and compassion. David Treleaven has made an important contribution to the fields of mindfulness and trauma, and he emphasizes the importance of trauma-sensitive mindfulness, which involves offering mindfulness in a trauma-sensitive way. Trauma-sensitive mindfulness involves having an understanding of trauma as it relates to mindfulness. Trauma-sensitive mindfulness teaches people to recognize trauma and to respond to it skillfully and to take steps to ensure people are not re-traumatized when practicing mindfulness. For example, a person may appear to be practicing mindfulness when really they are in a dissociative state. David Treleaven emphasizes the importance of integration within a trauma-sensitive mindfulness practice. In 2018, Jenna Boyd, Ruth Lanius, and Margaret McKinnon published a paper in the Journal of Psychiatry and Neuroscience titled Mindfulness-Based Treatments for Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder, a review of the treatment literature and neurobiological evidence. They noticed an emerging and rapidly growing literature showing that mindfulness-based interventions show considerable promise in treating PTSD. They wrote that the studies reviewed suggest that mindfulness-based treatments are effective in reducing symptoms of PTSD with medium to large within-group effect sizes. Importantly, this means that mindfulness-based interventions can lead to significant improvement in PTSD symptoms. This is so important for a number of reasons. For example, in my experience, trauma-sensitive mindfulness-based interventions are generally acceptable to people with trauma-related symptoms, and therefore there is a low dropout rate. Furthermore, trauma-sensitive mindfulness-based interventions have a low incidence of side effects. Neuroplasticity highlights how effective mindfulness can be. And when we focus our attention in specific ways, we create neural firing patterns that permit previously separated areas in the brain to become linked and integrated. This is really important because integration is an important part of recovering from trauma. Through neuroplasticity, mindfulness brings about physical changes in the brain that help people recover from trauma, and these physical changes can be shown on brain scans. Trauma-sensitive yoga is another important mindfulness-based intervention to help people affected by trauma. When David Emerson and Bessel van der Kolk worked at the Trauma Center in Boston, Massachusetts, they developed trauma-sensitive yoga. They conducted a randomized control trial which showed that trauma-sensitive yoga was an effective way of treating PTSD. After 10 weeks of trauma-sensitive yoga, the people with PTSD showed a 33% reduction in PTSD symptoms. At follow-up, 2 months after the course completed, 52% of the participants no longer met the diagnostic criteria for post-traumatic stress disorder. Trauma-sensitive yoga has a number of important elements, including promoting interoception, which is sensing what is happening in your body. Trauma-sensitive yoga emphasizes invitation and choice as a way of exploring interoception. Another mindfulness-based intervention to help trauma is mindful self-compassion that was developed by Kristen Neff and Christopher Germer, and it was partly based on the work of Paul Gilbert. Mindful self-compassion combines mindfulness and self-compassion, and it is an important part of recovering from trauma. Professor Amit Bernstein has developed a mindfulness-based trauma recovery course called MBTR, and he has offered this course to people deeply affected by trauma, including Eritrean asylum seekers with severe trauma histories, including exposure to torture. Mindful self-compassion is an important part of MBTR. Professor Bernstein compared people who completed MBTR with people on the waiting list to do it. MBTR had a high completion rate, and those who finished the course demonstrated statistically significant reduced rates and symptom severity of PTSD, depression, and anxiety. 91% of the waitlist controlled group who initially had PTSD still had PTSD at the end of the study period, compared with only 48% of the MBTR participants. 50% of people who did the course no longer met the diagnostic criteria for PTSD when the course had been finished. 88% of the control group had depression at the completion of the study, whereas 59% of the MBTR participants were depressed. No participant demonstrated any lasting clinical significant deterioration. Another important intervention for trauma-related symptoms, which from my perspective is primarily based on mindfulness, is eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, which was developed by Francine Shapiro after a chance observation that she made when walking through a park. And she noticed that moving her eyes rapidly from side to side reduced the vividness of distressing psychological material. EMDR subsequently developed into an integrated psychotherapy. A number of international guidelines for treating trauma-related symptoms strongly recommend EMDR as a first-line treatment. EMDR facilitates processing and reintegration of traumatic emotions, images, and memories. Unlike many contemporary forms of psychotherapy, EMDR stimulates the brain's intrinsic capacity for adaptive information processing. Not only is EMDR very effective, but it is also highly efficient at processing distressing trauma memories. Studies have shown that people can benefit from EMDR much more quickly than they can from other recognized trauma-focused therapies, such as cognitive processing therapy. Another important advantage of EMDR is that it can be used in groups. Interestingly, Francine Shapiro trained in mindfulness before developing EMDR, and she emphasized the importance of mindfulness to EMDR. She used language like, "Let whatever happens happen, just notice." She emphasized cultivating an observer stance, and part of EMDR involves bringing non-judgmental attention to what is happening in the body. She attributed part of the benefits of EMDR to re-experiencing emotional disturbance whilst maintaining a non-judgmental observer stance and to allowing a flow of somatic, emotional, cognitive, and sensory associations that arise while maintaining the observer stance. There are two body-based forms of psychotherapy that are based on mindfulness. The first is somatic experiencing, which was developed by Peter Levine specifically to address trauma-related symptoms. He developed somatic experiencing after observing that prey animals, whose lives are regularly threatened, are able to readily recover by physically releasing and discharging the large amounts of energy generated by threat. The energy generated by a threat can be enormous, and it explains how people are able to do extraordinary things when they are threatened. For example, There are many examples of mothers freeing their children by lifting things far beyond what they could normally lift. Whilst wild animals readily discharge energy after a threat, human beings often override these natural ways of regulating the nervous system, and they do this by bringing in self-judgment, fear, intrusive thoughts, and shame. Somatic experiencing involves releasing the pent-up energy. Many people who have studied trauma say the evidence shows that body-based practices are important to recovering from trauma. The second body-based form of psychotherapy for trauma symptoms is sensory motor psychotherapy developed by Pat Ogden. She linked somatic therapy and psychotherapy into a comprehensive method for healing the disconnection between mind and body that often follows trauma. In summary, we now know that trauma affects the mind, the body, and the nervous system. Robust scientific studies and traditional wisdom shows that we need to respond to trauma-related symptoms using many of the above interventions. The really positive news is that scientific studies have shown that the above interventions naturally heal trauma-related symptoms. I am so pleased that you have decided to join me on a journey to better understand trauma, its effects, and how to recover from trauma-related symptoms. You can find more information about recovering from trauma on my website, which is master.com.au, master being M-A-S-T-R, master.com.au. There you will find some resources, including trauma-sensitive mindfulness practices. I do hope that you will join me for the next Master Podcast. Thank you.